Okay, we'll go.
What?
I said what?
All right, thanks. Everyone, please mute. Hi, my name is Donna W. from California. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book meeting. I'm your moderator for today, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater. Today is Tuesday, December 24th. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 66, the fourth paragraph down at the bottom, starting with, this was our course, and finishing on the next page with the sentence, thy will be done. Today's readers are, we have the 12 steps, Faye D, 12 traditions, Mary P, Sherry M will be reading the Big Book passage today, Barbara A, the vision for you on page 164, and Tanya P is our backup. Okay, we the share ID for Monday, December 23rd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,017. That's 22017. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22:19. That's 22019. Overeaters Anonymous, OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I now ask Shay D. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. Shay in California. Grateful to be alive today. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shay D. Next up is Mary P. to read us the 12 traditions.
Thanks. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. Excuse me. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary P. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 66, paragraph 4. And I'll ask, that's Sherry M., please read page 66, paragraph 4, starting with "This was a course," finishing on page 67, "Thy will be done."
Thank you. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way they disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We asked God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, "This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done." My name is Sherry M. I'm gratefully recovered today in Wyoming from compulsive overeating. And I absolutely love this paragraph. This was our course. This to me is before the paragraph before, if you didn't come on the meeting yesterday, was talking about looking at our list of grudges and resentments. And we're basically being told that it holds the key to our future. And so the fourth step is my favorite step, because if I'm the problem, there's a solution. And if someone else is the problem, there is no solution. And this step shows me that I am the problem. It's my thinking. So this was our course. Here's the action. We realized, for some reason, that word's standing out to me today. So I looked it up. This is past tense. This is a verb. This is an action. By now, we're sitting, we're looking at the column 1. We have actually become fully aware. We're understanding clearly. We are seeing, we are perceiving things differently. We are noticing, we are understanding, we are grasping what is happening here, that these people, oh my gosh, the realization is they are me and I am them. In some form or another, they are spiritually sick like myself. And then we see that there are a couple prayers in here. You know, we're asking God to help us. We're helping us. We're not praying for them and their well-being. I'm praying to ask God, please help me, help me, help me. And one of my favorite prayers is at the bottom. It says, God, save me from being angry. Saving. Keep me safe. Rescue me from harm or danger, because it's dangerous for me to be angry. Thy will be done. And I'll just wrap up with this, is that I remember when I was doing the fourth step on, you know, my stepfather and my father, both who were sexually abusive, and then my mom, who didn't protect me. I remember with my mom in particular, by the time I got here, what was so helpful on this paragraph was I visualized her. So here I am sitting, a free woman. I'm no longer killing myself with drugs, alcohol, and food. And I'm envisioning my mom up in a mental institution behind bars. And I'm downstairs, you know, I'm in the yard running around free, and she's locked up. Like, you know, when I start looking at what would that have taken for a mother to not be able to stand up or protect her daughter? How spiritually sick must she have been? Wow, does that soften my heart? It really softens my heart. This program is an absolute miracle, that the things that were unforgivable become forgivable in my heart. They no longer have a hold of me, and that I can live a wonderful, beautiful life in spite of things that are done to me. And always remembering, my favorite thing I learned in our sister program is, if I spot it, I have it. You know, you spot it, you got it. And if it makes you mad, you've got it bad. So these very things that are disturbing me are actually deep down inside of me.
Hi.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be disturbed. So anyways, if you're celebrating Christmas, Merry Christmas Eve. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. All right. Let me find the right page here. All right. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day, in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph, page 66 on the fourth paragraph, please?
Linda G. from Alabama.
Of Linda G.
Kara L.
Kara L.
Larry G.
Larry G.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Joan Marie M.
Vanessa G.
Vanessa G. Okay,
Barbara A.
Line
California.
Was that Barbara A?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. So we'll start with that lineup. I have Linda G, Kara L, Larry G, Joan Marie M, Vanessa G, and Barbara A. So if everyone please mute your line, and we'll start with Linda G, followed by Kara L, please.
This part of the fourth step was so liberating for me. I recognized that my parents were sick, and that they were physically and spiritually and mentally abusive to me, and that I had the tendency to find situations that mirrored that, that I would seek out the chance to correct those issues and try to set them straight. And I recognized where I played a part in those situations. In my family situation, I was scapegoated all of the time. And I was always trying to prove I was innocent. And I found a work situation that mirrored my home situation. And I was trying to prove I was innocent. And if I had had program at the time, I would have handled the situation entirely differently. And as it was, in doing my fourth step, I recognized where I played a part in aggravating that work situation and brought a lot of those troubles on myself because I was trying to prove I was innocent. And that was very freeing because I saw that it couldn't have been any different than it was. And trying to prove my innocence was aggravating and it was pointless. And I should have just accepted the situation as it was and not tried to change it. In recognizing my family situation, I saw that my parents were physically and spiritually and mentally sick, and that they were just party people, and they couldn't handle me, and that we were engaged in a dance of trying to change each other, and it led to torture. It led to absolute torture for both of us. I wrote them a letter because they've both passed away since. And in that letter, I was able to forgive them both for not being who I needed them to be. And towards the end of their lives, we were able to forgive one another because I had found God. And I was able to get the love I needed from God, not from them. And when I stopped looking for it from them, they were able to give it to me. Oddly enough, and our relationship rectified. It was an amazing situation, and it was God-given. I know that now. And my higher power was sitting with me and working with me and giving me what I needed. Thank you very much. And I prayed on it. And I got what I needed from them, and God was with me. And my higher power has been working with me ever since. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda G. Will you just tell us where you're calling from?
I'm calling from Alabama, that's Central Time.
Great. Thank you, Linda. All right. Next up is Kara L., followed by Larry G.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Oh, I love this paragraph. I was going to say, I think I say that every time. These two prayers in this paragraph that have really made a difference and changed me and my life and how I'm able to function with my resentment. I have to the side here resentment prayer, you know. God, help me to show them the same tolerance, pity, patience that I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. That's the first thing I say. Like, God, help me to see them as you see them. Help me to see them as somebody I would have so much compassion for, right? And then the next one is, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. As soon as I say that prayer, as soon as I say, this is a sick person, God, how may I be of service? It switches me from resentment to compassion. It shows me that it just gives me a 180 turnaround, right? For some reason, I don't know why this one is such a simple prayer. God, how may, this is a sick person. How can I be helpful here? You know, show me them as you see them. Show me how I can be of service, you know, thy will. God, keep me from getting angry. Oh, I don't have to be angry, and I can ask for help. God, please keep me from getting angry and show me how to serve. I'm so grateful today for those simple words, the simple prayers that, you know, keep me from being resentful and in, you know, anger to compassion and love. And to leaning in on my higher power. I'm so grateful for that today, and I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Kara L. in California. Next up is Larry G., followed by Joan Marie M.
Good morning, moderator and family. And I want to thank the reader. What a beautiful way to kick this meeting off with such an elegant share. First of all, I'm grateful. This is my fifth sober holiday, and I can't explain a miracle. If you can, please call me because, man, I don't I don't know how I got this place where I have had 5 years now back-to-back sobriety. Well, the fourth step for me was the beginning of taking responsibility for my life. And when I see this a little differently, I no longer want to diagnose somebody as being sick. It's not because I'm trying to elevate myself above the big book. It's just I spent a lifetime diagnosing people. And I'm trying to stay away from that today as best I can. And what I see today are people who are suffering. Just like I suffer, I see people are suffering. And I do the prayer based on that idea that this person is suffering. It's obvious they're suffering. I suffer. I know when other people are suffering because, you know, I can see it myself. And it just helps me to – it's a little mind hack I do. So I get out of judgment. I get out of diagnosing people, which is a sickness of my own, that diagnosing people, that judgment of people. It's a horrible way to live, and I continue to work on it. It's one of my stronger, more congealed character defects I have to really work on a daily basis because I don't believe that that's God's will for me, is to judge other people. I don't even know what's good for me at times. I want to love people today. I want to be instrument by peace the best I can. And this leads me to, I believe, this is my opinion, that forgiveness is the most essential ingredient of emotional sobriety. And this now leads me to seeing with compassion that I'm no different than this person. And I love what this woman said yesterday from Maryland. She talked about how people are just doing the best they can, and they're going to do what they're going to do. And there's nothing I can change in that. I've tried over my lifetime with certain members of family or friends, but they're going to do what they're going to do. And my job is to accept it and put the focus on me. And where am I suffering? Where do I need to say that the sick man, the suffering man's prayer for myself, not for other people, but for myself. With that, I want to pass and, I love you all. This fellowship has been a game changer. And the reason why is that I finally found a fellowship that supports entire abstinence. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry G. Next up, we have Joan Marie M., followed by Vanessa G.
Good morning. This is Joan Marie M., recovered in Nevada by the grace and power of God. Wow. Thank you for all your shares. Awesome. It says here, this is our course. This is our textbook. This shows us how to do this, how to do what, to be free, totally free, and neutrality around the food. What a miracle. What a miracle working God. And I love the person that brought out about the two prayers that are in this little paragraph, because prayer is everything. I learned from my pastor that what he would say in his heart to someone he was about to pray for or talk about, he would say, God, how do you see this person? What do you want me to say to this person? Because God is the only one that knows hearts. We don't know hearts. We don't know what they've gone through. And we only know the pain and the torment that we have gone through, you know, of being spiritually sick. Well, what is being spiritually sick? It is not knowing how to live this life like God would have me live. And that is and when that is taken care of, the physical follows. So it's all about a spiritual path that we're taking hand in hand with the God of the universe. And what an awesome Father God. And I used to have a hard time with Father God because my father was not a good father. But I understand that now. He was very sick. He was an alcoholic. So with that, I pass and say thank you, thank you, thank you again for helping me stay recovered. God bless you all.
Thank you, Joan Marie M. in Nevada. Next up is Vanessa G., followed by Barbara A. And before you start, Vanessa, I'll just remind everyone, we are reading page 66, the fourth paragraph, starting with, this was our course. and finishing on page 67, thy will be done.
Hi, everybody.
Vanessa G.
Okay, thank you. This is Vanessa G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. Very grateful today. I really appreciate the line in the opening share. They are me and I am them. You know, as a compulsive overeater and an alcoholic addict, I think, fundamentally narcissistic, very self-centered, just not able at all to put myself in the other person's shoes, not able to see things from another point of view except from my own. And this is the beginning of the gift, one of the hugest gifts that I've gotten from recovery, and that's the gift of empathy, understanding that they, those out there, are me and I am them. I was talking with another friend this morning and in this program and reminding each other that this is just a very small piece of what we know. What is happening on this earthly plane. And the big book, you know, promises us that we'll be lifted into another dimension where everything is different and everything is being healed and worked on and sorted out beyond our understanding. And that it helps me anyway to think of it that way so that I can accept the things that are happening on this earthly plane, knowing that there is a higher power, there is a universe, there is a method, there is another dimension where all is well, where, you know, God and I are one and my fellows and I are one and everything is healed. I'm sorry to get off of the topic, but I just really appreciate the opportunity to ask God to show me what is best. Show me that I am them and they are me, and how I can be helpful, how I can help the people on this plane and myself live in a place of kindness and intolerance and patience. Love and understanding and tolerance is our code. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Vanessa G. Next up is Barbara A., and then we'll open the line for more shares.
Good morning. Thank you, Donna, for leading the meeting today. Thank you for this gift of this program and for being able to come in today and listen, to sit down and listen fully. Been in the program a while, and I'd like to say too, this is my second abstinent holiday in many, many years of the program. I am learning every day. This sick man prayer was really important. I remember learning the resentment prayer. Probably one of the first things I learned in the program, you know, saying it, but not really saying it, not really meaning it, not becoming a part of it. And now the sick man's prayer. Often find that I use the sick man prayer when I'm driving because I was a crazy driver and I would, you know, never show anybody what I was doing. I would speed, I would race, I would curse. Today, when someone does something when I'm driving, I might have that twinge of, and then I say, hey, I've done that before. God, you know, get them home safely. Don't let anyone be hurt. Let them get everything they need to get done today. Yeah, just like that prayer for that person. I also heard today, which I love little sayings because it's easy for my mind to grasp and to remember. And that was, you spot it, you got it. If you get mad, you got it bad. This happened yesterday. I was, you know, having a wonderful walk, and I got this text, and all of a sudden I had this resentment, like, how dare she? And by the grace of God, I said, oh my gosh, I'm reacting because I've done that same thing. I immediately reached out. First I prayed, God, you know, just thank you for letting me see this, that I am a sick man also, and I am in a process of learning how to accept, be tolerant, to love, to have empathy, as one of our fellows said. And then to reach out to others and say, hey, how's your day going? Just checking in, making a phone call. This program does work miracles. I've heard that word miracle today. It's happened for me, a compulsive overeater in recovery today by the grace of God. So grateful to be on a meeting with fellows. This is Barbara A. from Central California, and I pass.
Thank you, Barbara A. in California. So just to remind everyone, we're on page 66, the bottom paragraph. This was our course, ending on the next page, Thy Will Be Done. And just a reminder that if you have shared on Friday or Monday, then please refrain. If you're new, we'd love to hear from you. I'll open the line for more shares, please. Valerie B. That was Valerie or Mallory?
Sorry, Hillary with an H.
Hillary, there you go. Thank you. Hillary, yeah. And what was your last initial?
B as in boy from California.
Great. Thank you, Hillary. Who else?
Sherry H.M. Washington.
Sherry H.M. Washington.
Dion R. from Georgia.
Dion R.
This is Mark from Minnesota.
Mark, Minnesota. And
where are we in the big book exactly?
We're on page 66, the last paragraph. This was our course, finishing on page 67. Thy will be done at the end of the first paragraph.
Yeah, you might have it. What version are you from?
Hey, Mark, we're going to continue. We're on the fourth edition.
Yeah, I'm not.
Anyone else want to share?
Luann C. from Boise.
Luann C. Idaho. Okay. We'll take one more.
Elizabeth A., Michigan.
Elizabeth A., Michigan. Okay, so I have Hillary B., Sherry H.M., Dion R., Mark, Luann C., and Elizabeth A. All right, so if everyone could please mute, and we'll have Hillary B., please start, followed by Sherry H.M.
Thank you so much for taking this meeting and leading us. Hillary B. from Southern California, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater for today. I realized that the people who wronged me were perhaps spiritually sick or developing just like me. Those are the most important words I have to say every time I say this prayer, every time I do a 10th step. That's the thing I have to remember. I also am spiritually developing. I also am wounded and broken. And because I'm a human being, and because I'm wounded and broken and a mere mortal, I need a power greater than myself. And I have to ask that power to help me show this other person I'm upset with the same tolerance, pity, and patience that I would grant another person that I'm not angry at. And that's a tall order for me. Show someone tolerance, pity, and patience that I'm irritated at, that I feel like wronged me. And most of the people that I believe wrong me aren't wronging me. That's the problem right there. And I need I need God's divine healing, love, and light. I need a divine source that can raise me up out of myself, out of my self-centered, selfish point of view where he hurt me, she hurt me. And I have heard a couple people share about being abused by their father. And I was, and my father had 5 kids, 4 of us girls. He sexually abused every single one of his daughters. And today, of course, he's dead now, but even with the program, I got to see all the things, all the gifts I got from him, not focus on the, you know, because I have a higher power and a program that can help me heal from what my father did to me. He didn't take away my ability to have a spiritual life, to have a relationship with a divine force for good in the universe. And that's so huge. Instead of all the resentment and brokenness I suffered so much in my life, you know, blaming him. And but without a higher power, I cannot be free from my criticism and judgment and anger of other people. I can't. It's in me. I'm spiritually sick. I'm spiritually developing. I'm broken and wounded. And I'm so, so grateful that I am in this, on this path of recovery that enables me to see that I'm sick and broken, that enables me to see when I'm blaming others for my own problems, and to have the guidance of a higher power to bring me back to peace and serenity. Thank you so much for listening. And I pass.
Thank you, Hillary B. in California. Next up is Sherry H.M.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so grateful for your service. I'm Sherry H.M., recovered compulsive overeater, sugar addict in Washington State. This really reminds me that the person who has the most power over me in my life is the one that I cannot or will not forgive, the one I hold resentment against. And then those people, and if there are any, right at the moment there aren't, but they have forks to do my suicide by fork. And I know that, you know, resentment is like taking poison and expecting the other man to die. So it's really going to corrode me from the inside out. So I do have to get out my feelings in a really safe way. And I can do that on paper. I can do that, you know, with a friend or something, and do the 10th step. So the worst one for me was long time ago, well, what, 8 or 9 years ago. There was a dog that attacked my puppy at the ferry terminal in Washington, and he was off leash or whatever. Anyway, and you know, after that, poor Sadie, she went through a lot. I went through a lot, and it also was almost $2,000. So I was just, wow, I had so much resentment, and I was in program, and I know that my higher power says pray for those who persecute you. So I prayed for her, because I thought, you know, she's beautiful, she's very smart college student, but you know, she has all these things going for her. But my heart is full of compassion, because you know, if she can't learn to work through with people, then it's heartbreaking to me, and it took a long time. But God is good, and, you know, there was everything worked out. Sadie was fine after a period of time. I had PTSD as well. So anyway, I'm so grateful for this program, and I pray that you all have a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. in Washington. Happy Holidays. Next up is Dion R. in Georgia.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you all for being on the line and being of service. This is Beyond R. Very grateful. Recovered compulsive overeater. And I am so grateful today that I'm grateful to know that that I'm recovered from a seemingly hopelessness state of mind, body, what I had all the time. And I too love, thank you, shout out for that first one that, or whoever said this, I know it was gift of my higher power, most all wise things I hear now is in some meeting, and that part of you spot it, you got it. I always heard that. You spot it, you got that too. What you accuse of someone else of. But if it makes you mad, you got it bad. That's me. I was so pissed. I was like, why they? And when I do that, next paragraph we'll be talking about that turnaround. Have you been selfish, Dion? You know, and all that. Where? You know, because if I'm that angry about it, and I gave it to God, it's because I'm that same characteristic or character trait is in me, or something I don't even know what to do with or how to work it, or I don't want to see it, or I feel guilty, whatever it is on this. And thank you all for reminding me. If I spot it, I got it. Because the things I did, even raising children, like, instead of just saying, I used to say, y'all make me angry. You know, abuse was giving me. I'm not going to abuse. Well, I'm not going to abuse it. But saying, y'all making me angry. Y'all making me sick. They can't make me sick. Imagine the kids hearing that. We're making our mom sick. We're making our mom want to get a cigarette or whatever. So it's just like those things that I thought I was unique from. And in the program of honesty, I'm eligible, too, for forgiveness. You know, somebody I heard. And may not be in a degree, but hurt is hurt. And you guys allow me to love my ancestors, knowing that they did, like I heard so much this morning, they did the best they could in the state of mind they're in. But do that mean I numb my feelings? No. I get to feel them. Still, if I got to get angry about it, right about it, get it out, channel it out, and allow the love through the steps to bring me forgiveness of myself and others. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for reminding me that this too shall pass. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dion R. in Georgia. Next up is Mark in Minnesota. Mark, if you could give us the first initial of your last name, please.
Yes. Mark Z. Z as in zebra.
Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, I am new to this meeting, and I have a question right off the bat. Do you always go from the fourth edition of the Big Book of AA?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have the third edition, and I am not in finding where you guys are. And I suppose that's okay for now. I'm on page 62, and I'm looking at this word selfishness. It's the second paragraph, selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. I'm going to stop at that word self-pity. That victim place, I would camp there quite a bit and try to get other people to buy into this fact that I was a victim. And, of course, that would, if I could maintain my delusion of victimhood, would really relieve me of taking responsibility. As I'm listening to myself speak, even now, I'm seeing all the ways, all of the blessings, all the talents, so many things at my disposal that would help me live a better life, life of service to others. But the, you know, fear of failure, of stepping out and taking a reasonable risk, gets in the way. So I would, you know, it's so much easier to play the victim and not use what God has already given me in his service and service to my fellows. That, so I am learning little by slowly, one day at a time, one step at a time, that I don't have to live there. I can make myself available for people who want to do a 10th step call during the day. I can do those 10th step calls, and my recovery friends from other programs can learn from that. So this is, it's such a beautiful privilege and honor to be in these 12-step programs and just living recovery. So thank you all for letting me share. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Mark Z in Minnesota. So we have just a few minutes left of sharing. I have Luann C and Elizabeth A. So if you could each do a minute and a half, that would be awesome. Luann, please go.
Hi, everyone. This is Luann C. I'm gratefully recovered in Boise, Idaho, and just so grateful to be here on Christmas Eve. That's so great, and I hope you all have a great day. You know, we ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. I don't grant sick people cheerfulness if I'm not in the program, if I'm not recovered. I'm always judging them. Well, why didn't you do this? How come you're sick, you know? But when I change the words to that prayer, to God, help me show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that you showed me. I mean, for 7 decades, I was not recovered. I just got recovered at 70. So God has shown me so much patience. And when I bring it down to that, then I'm granted the empathy to see, I loved what was said, my fellow sufferers. And when I'm in that place of empathy, then I can hear how to be helpful to them. And that's my purpose now. Everything I do is sublimated to that purpose. So I'm so grateful to be celebrating my second abstinent holiday, and I hope you all have an abstinent holiday. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Luann C. in Idaho, and finishing up with Elizabeth A. in Michigan, please. Elizabeth, are you available to share? Press star 1.
I'm sorry, this is Elizabeth A. in Michigan. Good morning. What a great...
And if you could keep it just a minute, we're really running out of time.
Okay.
Thank you.
I guess the two things, yeah, so much stands out, and the shares have just really spoken to me this morning. One is that, yeah, I grew up with a amount of abuse and just thought I was crazy. So then when my father was dying, the abuse really heightened, and it actually was a moment of realizing that I was the one that was so sick and that desperately needed that relationship with a higher power. And the other thing was that I realize daily that my vision is myopic. I don't see the big picture, and it is difficult. There's a saying, it is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. And I think it's through the woundedness that I'm able to reach out to others and just walk the walk. You know, I don't know if they did the best they could. I don't know if I do the best I can. That's up to God. God decides whether you know. It's His grace. Really, at the end of it, it's all His grace. When I stand before God, I'm imperfect and learning. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Elizabeth A. in Michigan. Great. Thank you all for your awesome shares. All right. We will now close close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Barbara A. please? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Donna. This is Barbara A. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.